Last month, we celebrated on Mother's Day our mothers by sharing stories that we remembered of our moms. I'd like to ask us to do the same thing today. Think of a story you might share about your father, about your dad. Something that illuminates who he was to others. What type of man, what type of husband, what type of father he was. Everybody, I think, has a good dad story. While you're thinking of which one you'd like to share, I'll share mine with you. When I was 11 years old, my mother and father, I was an only child until I was 9. And then they had my brother Luke. And then 2 years later, she got pregnant again with my sister. They decided that we needed more bedroom space. Our house was a big house. It was a 100-year-old, two-story house. But they decided we needed more room, so we decided to remodel the upstairs. And part of that was there was a walk-in attic that took about half of the upstairs level. We opened that up and turned it into a master bedroom for my mother and father. A couple difficulties with that. That room didn't have, because it was an attic, it didn't have any ductwork for the heat and air conditioning. So we installed a window, big window air conditioner to cool the room, but we needed something to heat the room. So it was the mid-80s. My father decided that electric baseboard heat would be good stuff to put in. It would warm just that room. So we hired some guys to do a lot of the finishing work. They did the carpentry, they put the carpet in, they did all the new drywall that needed to be in there. But my dad decided that to save money, it's important to remember that phrase, to save money, he would do the electrical work himself, especially installing the electric baseboard heat and thermostat. Now, it should be noted, my father had many, many gifts, many, many talents in this life, many, many things that he was good at. Electrician was not one of them. But he was going to do the electrical work. So in this, it was a rather big space where the attic had been. Over in one corner, the roof line came down to about here. But underneath it was dead space. So we built some deep drawers that went into, wooden drawers that slid into the wall there. And we built them so we could pull the two drawers on the end out completely, because that's where you accessed the crawl space behind this wall. So we're wiring the baseboard heaters up. He gets them around the room where he wants them. He installs them. He runs the wires back behind the wall. He runs them down to this crawl space. He puts the thermostat on the wall over here. He runs its wires back to the crawl space. He says, okay, you stay here. I'm going to crawl back there and hook up the power. Okay, I'm 11 years old. I sit down. They were already sleeping in this room because it was summertime. So I sat on the bed. My dad pulls the drawers out. He shimmies into this 16-inch space to get back into the wall, crawls back to the crawl space to where it's at. I can hear him in the wall. He's talking, okay, I'm going to hook up the power. I'm sitting there on the bed. The thermostat literally blows off the wall. There's this little pop, and it just pops right off. Now, I'm 11. I know nothing about electricity other than I don't want to touch it, right? And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't think that was right. And this voice calls to me from the wall. What happened? I'm not sure how to describe this. It fell off the wall. What? You should come look at this. So he shimmies, crawls back out the crawl space, shimmies back out the hole, he comes out. There is literally a scorch mark on the wall, and the thermostat's laying on the floor, and it's fried. He does the classic dad pose in this instance. reaches into his wallet, pulls out a $5 bill. He says, get on your bike, ride up to the hardware store, get me another thermostat. Okay. Take the money, get on my bike. We lived in a small town. It took me 10 minutes to ride up to the hardware store. Walk in. I need a thermostat. He'd given me the box so I'd get the right kind. Guy gives me a thermostat, ride my bike back home. While I'm gone, Dad's rechecking the wire, right? Making sure. All right, I got this one hooked up to this one hooked up. Okay, and then they run, and then this, the thermostat. Okay, all right, okay, all right. I give him the new thermostat. He crawls back through the hole, into the wall. All right, I'm going to hook up the power. What happened? It fell off the wall again. He comes crawling back out again. Take a guess. I'm curious. Take a guess. How many thermostats do you think we went through that day? Who has a guess? What's a good number for thermostats? Four? Nanette thinks we went through four thermostats. Five? Five would have been a great number. After number 10. After number 10. By the way, my dad was a Navy guy. I learned curse words that day that I had never even imagined existed. I mean, right? You've got your normal everyday curse words, but this was like a whole nother echelon of curse words. It was a whole, I had to write it down. I gotta look that up later. What is that? What is, that had multiple syllables in it. There was like a story he was telling when he cursed. After the 10th one, my dad stopped. Retrace the steps. What he discovered was the thermostats we were buying were 110 thermostats. They were rated for 110 power. We were hooking a 220 power line up to it. It was twice the power. That's why I was blowing it off the wall like that. The 11th one, by the way, stuck and worked for 30 years. Took us 11 times and we got it right. And you know, I think I love that story about my dad. What it shows me, now you might look at that and say, wow, bullheaded. Yes. Stubborn. Yeah. But perseverance, he was going to get this. There was no other options. It's not like they could be cold in the winter. He was going to figure this out. He was going to get to the bottom of it. 11 thermostats to get to the right answer. But he wasn't letting go. It took us all day. He crawled in and out of that hole 11 times. But we got it figured out. We got to the bottom. That's the story. I love telling that story about my dad. He was never a good electrician. He once hooked up an outside light that had a bare wire that touched the aluminum siding and electrified the whole house. When the meter reader came to meet the electrical reader and was standing in a puddle and leaned against the aluminum siding, it threw him across the patio. Yeah, the electric company in my hometown said, we would really prefer if you hired these jobs out. We would prefer a real electrician do that. But I'm curious what stories you might have. A good story about Dad. Does somebody have a story they'd like to share? Yes, Alan.
So this one's about my father-in-law, who I knew much longer actually than my father. And some of you know, I'm Christmas time, and it had been snowing like unbelievable. I said, me? I don't know anything. He says, look, we're going to tie a rope around you. And you get down in that ditch, grab a hold of that calf, and then I'm going to pull you out. I said, okay. So I tie the big old rope around him. I get down in the ditch. I get a hold of the calf, and it's just kicking and bawling and everything else. And it's got everything from the birthing process still on it. And I said, okay, I got him. So he's got it. He's pulling on the rope. He decides he can't help me enough, so he ties on the end of the bunk. And he's pulling me out. He starts to pull me out. Sure enough, he gets me out. And I get in the back of the car. I'm holding on to the calf. He says, don't let go. I said, okay. So we get back to the house, and they need to nurse the cow, clean it up, and everything like that. And this is a little farmhouse. We get down in the basement. It's a dirt basement and everything like that. And there is a picture in the archives of our family someplace with me holding this calf with this big milk bottle, this big old red nipple on the end of it that Mom had put together with milk and a couple of shots of bourbon.
Nice.
And, you know, that was my first real experience in farm life. It burned and etched in my mind. That's not a line of work that I didn't want to do. But, you know, I love my father-in-law so much. But
absolutely. Absolutely. Milk and bourbon for the new calf. That's I don't know if that's vet prescribed, but that's good stuff. I'll bet it did. I'm not doubting it worked a bit. I'm sure it did. What a wonderful story. Does anybody else have a story they'd like to share? A story about their dad. Oh, come on, everybody's got a story about their dad. Nobody else has a story, but yes, Mike, tell me a story about your dad.
Very similar to yours, I think, in a lot of ways. I was 18 when my dad died, and that's been 18 years ago this year, so some of my memories get a little fuzzy from time to time. But whenever I am trying to fix something or working on something in the house, and the language that I was learning while watching my dad do the same thing, memories come flooding back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had a folding chair at my house growing up, the back of which, it was a metal folding chair, the back of which was all misshapen because he was standing on it during another electrical job. He was wiring a light, and he grabbed a hold of the live wire accidentally, and it, of course, just shocked the crap out of him. And he pulled the hammer out of his bib overalls and beat the back of the chair. He was so angry, he didn't know what else to do. He didn't want to hit any of the stuff he'd been working on, so he just beat that chair. So for years, we had this ugly, if there were so many people in the house, we had to get that chair out. You knew that the house was full, that we got out the beaten chair that had to show what he did. Fantastic stories. I love dad stories. Who else has a dad story? Yes, John Beaver.
This is relating to American Christian Church.
All right.
Ira J. Bales was the minister down here, and it was snowing significantly, and so the Beaver boys, Jill and I were probably 8 or 9, maybe 7 or 8, and M.J. Beaver brought us down here, and there used to be sidewalks all the way around the front of the church, and the stairs that used to go up here and down. But Ira pulled in, and he was kind of questioning if this was going to get done today, so we got 2 little blue snow shovels that were about this big. Ray Beaver made sure that it got done, and he had, I don't even know where Beaver was, but he wasn't around. But the 2 little boys were down here shoveling the shovels. Just that whole long walk, and it was just like those child labor laws and all.
Those don't exist for dads, yeah, not even a little bit, no.
But I was very impressed that we actually got it done.
I'll bet. Excellent. Excellent. Yes, Lucy, one more.
Well, I have a fun one.
Okay. And you know what? The whole way he was driving home, he's like, I'm the best dad ever. I got a carload of Russell Stover candy for free. That's excellent. That's excellent. Well, you may have noticed our scripture today was a little odd. It's scripture that we normally hear at Advent, right? The story of the birth of Jesus. We normally read that in December as we're getting ready for Christmas. Like, we hear that scripture, it feels like we should have greenery out and a tree in the corner. It's kind of weird to read it when it's, you know, 87 degrees outside and humid. But I love this story from the story of the birth of Jesus in that it gives us this great picture of Joseph. Joseph's not a character we hear a lot about in the Bible. He shows up at the birth of Jesus when Jesus is about 10 or 11 and they accidentally lose him in Jerusalem at the temple. Joseph's mentioned in that story, but that's really the last we hear of him. Later on in Jesus' ministry, it's his mom, Mary, who really comes to the forefront and is the predominant role in his life. But growing up, there was this man in his life who was his father, Joseph. And I love looking at this scripture. You know, we start off by meeting Joseph. Joseph discovers that his teenage fiance is pregnant and not by him. Now, that's a bad situation all the way around. Right? And he would have had every right, I think, in that you first hear that news. If it were me in his shoes, I would have been a little angry, right? What's going on? You're supposed to be my fiance, now you're pregnant. Joseph's first thought is I should protect Mary. Now, I don't want to bring shame on her. I don't want people looking at her because she's engaged to a man and pregnant with somebody else's child. So I'm going to just quietly step out of the picture. I'm just going to very quietly remove myself to take some of that attention off of her so she doesn't have that shame coming down on her. And he goes to bed that night, and an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and says, hold on, we need you for something. We need you to marry Mary. We need you to be with her. The child she has is God's. You're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to need a dad. Joseph wakes up and he says, all right. And he stays with Mary. They get married and they eventually have Jesus and they name him Jesus, like the angel told him. I love the story about Joseph because I think it's so important having a father's presence in a child's life. This was not his biological child. He had every right under every moral, ethical, legal principle in his society. He had every right to walk away from this and say, sorry, that's not mine. But that's not what he did. When God said, hey, we need you to be in this child's life, Joseph stepped up. Joseph said, okay, I'm going to be in this child's life. He took Mary with him for the census. And there she had the baby, and they named him Jesus. And he saw the things that were happening. He saw the shepherds come. He heard the stories about the angels. A couple years later, he sees the wise men show up at his house. Joseph sticks with this. Joseph says, I'm going to be a presence. And I think that's so important. Who's going to teach Jesus how to spit? Right? That's something a dad does. A dad teaches you how to spit and not get it on your chin. Right? Because that's gross. You don't want to get it on you. Right? Who's going to show Jesus how to throw a curveball? Right? Don't get me wrong. My mom played many games of catch with me, but it was my dad that showed me how to grip the ball and how to twist it as I threw. Who's going to show him what it's like to have a nice cold drink on the porch after a long, hard day of working in the sun? Who's going to teach him how to whistle? That's something dads do. We whistle. But more than that, who was going to show Jesus how to be a righteous man? How to be a good husband, a loving father? That's the role we fathers fill. We show our children what it is to be a man. If you have boys, if you have sons or grandsons, they need to see how to be a husband, how to be a father. Someday they might need to fill that role. They need to know what they're doing. They're going to learn that from you. If you have a daughter, someday she's going to pick a partner. Guess what? She's going to base him on you. What kind of a partner are you wanting her to look for? What kind of a husband? What kind of a father is she going to be seeking out? These are important, important things. Joseph was the example of how to be a man that Jesus grew up watching, learning from, idolizing. He would know from his heavenly father how to be God, but somebody needed to show him how to be human. So when we look at the brief image of Joseph that we get in Scripture, what qualities did he imbue Jesus with? He showed Jesus how to be compassionate. When God called on Joseph to stay with Mary, to be the father of Jesus, it was compassion that called Joseph back. Caring for this child that was not his, stepping in as the role of father. When Jesus was 11 and he gets lost at the temple, Joseph leaves the caravan, goes back with Mary to search the city for their son. Joseph married Mary even when it meant scrutiny and criticism from the community. Joseph married her. They stayed married for many years. They had other children together. Joseph loved his family. He worked hard to provide for them, working in that hot sun as a carpenter, teaching his sons that trade. Joseph showed Jesus commitment. Jesus is born and Joseph has another dream. The angel says, hey, don't go home. Things are going to get bad. Herod's pretty upset. He's going to kill Jesus if you take him home. You got to run away. You got to run to a foreign country you've never been in before. You need to go hide. Joseph doesn't hesitate. He gets up, he takes Mary and the child, and they go to Egypt. Refugees from a violent catastrophe that is about to happen. Immigrants in a foreign land crossing kingdom boundaries trying to find a place where their family can be safe. Joseph doesn't hesitate to leave behind family and friends and his whole life to protect his wife and child. When they're in Egypt, Herod dies. The angel comes back and says, okay, you can come back now. And Joseph starts to move his family back and discovers that Herod's son still sits on the throne. So the angel says, all right, go to Galilee, to the town of Nazareth, and settle there. And Joseph does it. That's where he takes his family. He does what the angel tells him to do, committed to keeping his family safe, to keeping this child, his child, safe. But I think lastly, the thing that Joseph gave Jesus the most, the quality he embraced as an example to his son, is that Joseph was faithful. The brief few scriptures where we see Joseph is all about his faith. Joseph is ready to leave the relationship. The angel says, wait, we need you to stay. And Joseph stays. The angel says, wait, we need you to move to Egypt. And he moves to Egypt. Wait, we need you to move back to Nazareth. And he moves back to Nazareth. The next time we see him, he's taking his family to Jerusalem for the Passover. These events were important in their faith. And Joseph made sure that they participated in them. His role as a faithful parent, as a faithful father, as a faithful husband, as a faithful man, was an example he gave to Jesus. Above all else, above all the other qualities, compassion and caring and protectiveness and commitment, above all else, Joseph was faithful. Every week in in worship, we pray to God as Father. I talked to the kids earlier about this, that we refer to God as our Father who art in heaven. We talked on Mother's Day about how Jesus taught us this prayer, about how it was a revolutionary idea at the time to refer to God as familial as Father. That at that time, they didn't even give God a name because God was so great and so beyond their comprehension and so amazing, they could not think of a single word that could encompass that. So literally, they referred to God as the one who will not be named. And Jesus came along and said, when you pray, pray this way, our Father. And it was incredible. It changed faith. It brought God closer into our faith. In that prayer, we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means to consecrate, to make holy, to revere, to honor. To the fathers that are here today, the fathers and the grandfathers, to the father figures that are here today, to the mothers who had to be the father, to the adoptive fathers, to the foster fathers, we see you, we revere you, and we honor you. Be the fathers that this world needs you to be. Be the example of what a husband, what a father, what a faithful man is. Be compassionate and committed. Be faithful that your children, those who look up to you, those who are watching you might know this is what a dad is. To all who have had that father in their life, whether it was your biological father, your adoptive father, it was simply a man who filled that role for you in your life, remember them today. Honor them today. Thank them today for being that dad. Sadly, in our world today, many men choose to skip out on this role. And that's a sad, sad thing. Because our children need fathers. Our communities need fathers. Our world needs fathers. Joseph wasn't prepared for where the story was taking him, but he was faithful. When God placed the call to be a father on his heart, Joseph responded. Joseph stood up. Joseph was the father Jesus needed him to be. Thank you, Joseph, for showing us how to be a father. Indeed, hallowed be thy name. Amen.